Hello. Hey, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the NOVAM Radio Network. Welcome to the program tonight. It is Thursday, the, what's today, 20th? 18th? Is that all it is? Man, this month is dragging, isn't it? I keep thinking that Christmas is like right around the corner.
Have you lost your mind?
No, really. It just, everything seems to slow down for me towards the end of the year. I think it has to do with my Celtic roots. You know, there's the Italian, but there's also the Celtic. Well, Irish, yes, you know, come on. What's your last name now, lady? Malloy.
This month has flown by so fast I can't remember my last name.
And since everything seems to be slowing a bit for us Celts, it just seems like the days are dragging. We had two events with Molly today. The first, Molly goes to a Presbyterian church for her preschool. And it's old and established, been around for, what, 35 or 40 years, 50, 45 years, a long time. Great curriculum. I've mentioned it before. For preschoolers, these teachers are incredible. It's like, how many kids per class? About 10, 12 with two teachers. And it's very inexpensive. I mean, I'm almost embarrassed to say how much it is, but it's so inexpensive. But you know, there is not a whole lot of emphasis on Jesus and God and our Heavenly Father and yada yada. But around this time of the year, as you can well imagine, there's more than some. There is a lot of focus. Well, Molly just gets right into it. You know, it's a little baby Jesus and God the Father in heaven, and you know. So today was her her school's Christmas pageant, and I'll tell you, when you see about 50 or 40 3, 4, and 5 year olds, most of whom were dressed as angels, you know, with wings on. And then about 8 or 9 standing around the manger scene, and everybody's singing Christmas carols, and the kids are, oh, it was just so much fun. So when we, you know, took about 45 minutes, and then Kathy and I left to take care of some business, then go back and pick Molly up when lunch was over. She has lunch at the school. And when we drove away, Kathy says, God, that was so sweet. Almost makes you want to stop being an atheist, you know, and sign on to some religion. You got to control yourself. So we decided that, you know, it's all part of the Celtic solstice thing. Yeah?
Yeah, I was just going to say to our gentle listeners, I just feel like I need a double insulin shot. If we were just fed up with cute today. First, a little Christmas program this morning, and then this afternoon, Molly's little ballet party for her little ballet class. And we got to sit in and observe these 4 and 5 year olds tap dancing and doing their little ballet exercises. And you feel your blood sugar rising.
You do. And it's all the Christmas music, too. You know, watching these little 4 and 5 year olds tap dance to Jingle Bells is let's just bag the show tonight and go out and sing carols. You want to go through the neighborhood and we'll just sing some Christmas carols?
I just want to wake Molly up and just, you know, kiss her for about an hour. She was just so cute today. You know, you have those days where you're just so in love with your kid, and this was one of them for me, even though she was fussy and she was running around like la 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 from all the sugar and candy and cookies and chocolate and everything. But
hey, wait a minute. I think we're supposed to be doing a political radio program.
I'm sorry. Did somebody want to talk about Obama?
Yeah,
something?
Or death and destruction. Let's. I'm sorry. We apologize. We're sorry. That was a real screw up. God, I hope the owners of the network weren't listening. Oh, we apologize. Arizona police say they are prepared. As the War College warns military must prepare for unrest, and the IMF warns of economic riots. This is in the Phoenix Business Journal yesterday, Phoenix, Arizona. I missed this completely, and somebody, whoever it was, gee, thanks, sent this to me. A new report by the U.S. Army War College talks about the possibility of Pentagon resources and troops being used Pentagon resources and troops. Well, we know what the troops are. What would the resources be? Explosive devices? Bullets? Resources of troops being used should the economic crisis lead to civil unrest, such as protests against business and government, or runs on beleaguered banks. Well, now that sounds just a little bit threatening, doesn't it? In here in the United States of America, late 2008, that sounds a little bit threatening. The War College report said, quote, widespread civil violence inside the United States would force the defense establishment to reorient priorities in extremis to defend basic domestic order and human security. That's a nice touch, throwing in the Latin there, in extremis. Wow. Is that because it's the War College? The study says economic collapse, terrorism, and loss of legal order are among possible domestic shocks that might require military action within the U.S. And then to kind of put an exclamation point to this kind of statement, the International Monetary Fund Managing Director Dominic Strauss-Kahn warned Wednesday of economy-related riots and unrest in various global markets if the financial crisis is not addressed and lower-income households are hurt by credit constraints and rising unemployment. Well, there's more, but for those of you who live in Arizona, rest easy tonight. State and local police in your state say they have broad plans to deal with social unrest, including trouble resulting from economic distress. The security and police agencies declined to give specifics, well, duh, but said they would employ existing and generalized emergency responses to civil unrest that arise for any reason. A spokesman for the Phoenix Police said, quote, the Phoenix Police Department is not expecting any civil unrest at this time, but we always train to prepare for any civil unrest issue. We have a tactical response unit that trains continually and has deployed on many occasions for any potential civil unrest issue, end quote. Well, and then, of course, there's the Northern Command, the U.S. military presence that in the United States has declared the Northern Hemisphere an area, a theater of war, if necessary. The Northern Command spokesman said Arizona Army National Guard Major Paul so-and-so said they are not aware of any new planning for domestic situations related to the economy. So civil unrest such as protest against businesses or runs on beleaguered banks. That's a little scary. Not a whole lot, but a little, isn't it, to know that we are at a point where the National War College, U.S. Army War College, is talking about the possibility of Pentagon resources being used here against us if people get a little froggy and start to jump.
One day we'll flash and send you crashing through the ceiling. Thank heaven for little girls. Thank heaven for them all, no matter where, no matter who. Without them, what would little boys do? Thank heaven, thank heaven, thank heaven for little girls.
The Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. Talk radio matters here.
And it's not just in Phoenix or in various cities around the country, in case people get a little too vocal or too active about an economic meltdown, that the military is paying attention. According to one of the wire services, the U.S. military plans to mobilize thousands of troops to protect Washington against potential terrorist attack during the inauguration of Barack Obama. That's according to a senior U.S. military commander. There will be flyovers, combat air patrols, and manned air defenses. There will be a large-scale medical support system set up. Local law enforcement will be helped by the military in providing security in the capital. That's according to General Gene Renouart. My goodness, is he French? R-E-N-U-A-R-T, Renouart, head of the U.S. Northern Command. He reiterated, "It's not because we see a specific threat, but because for an event this visible, this important, and this historic, we ought to be prepared to respond if something does happen." About 12,000 troops will take part in the operation on January 20th. Well, some troops will march in parades, serve in honor guards, or perform other ceremonial duties, but most of the National Guard troops will back up law enforcement, and active duty forces will provide specialized capabilities. I don't know. I just the whole thing is it's almost like we're being set up, but then again, it's just a matter of being prepared. The old Boy Scout motto, you think? Well, the ever-present fear, of course, is another attack like the one on 9/11. But the general who heads Northern Command said both NORAD and the Northern Command have worked hard to prevent a repeat of that horror, devising systems that allow them to determine whether a suspicious flight poses a threat. I just wonder why the FCC or NORAD didn't realize on September 11, 2001, that four aircraft all of a sudden veering totally off course, some of them doing a 180 heading to Washington, D.C. and New York City. Why that was, 20/20 hindsight. According to the general, civilian aircraft have been intercepted 400 times a year. Now, that's not a misprint. 400 times a year without a shootdown, according to the general. He added, quote, "Fortunately, we've not had to do that," end quote. He added, "But there are a number of aviators out there who have had a chance to see an F-16 up very close, who have been landed at an airfield that wasn't their planned airfield, and were greeted by 30 or 40 of their newest friends in the FBI." End quote. 400 a year? That's more than one a day, isn't it? Well, it's not just here either. It's also in Iraq. Did you see this in the New York Times today? 35 officials in the Iraqi Ministry of the Interior. Those are usually the people in governments that are puppet governments or dictatorships. The Ministry of the Interior is where the torture and the murder and the disappearances occur. But 35 officials in the Iraqi Ministry of the Interior, ranking as high as general, have been arrested over the past 3 days. Some of them accused of quietly working to reconstitute Saddam Hussein's Ba'ath Party. The arrests included four generals, and it appears that what was in the planning stages was a coup against Mr. Maliki, Nouri Kamal al-Maliki, the prime minister. The involvement of the counterterrorism unit, an elite counterterrorism force that reports directly to the prime minister, was involved in these arrests, and the involvement of that force, that unit, speaks to the seriousness of these accusations. And it appears that some of those arrested were in the early stages of planning a coup. We have really brought peace and stability and clean drinking water and oil resources and good schools and garbage pickup and toilets that work and electricity that stays on to the good and decent people of Iraq, haven't we? But as the rat bastard said last night, who's the guy we quoted? Frank Gaffney, who said, yeah, 4,000 Americans had died. They had to die. They had to die. Sounds like a goddamn Inca priest from, 1,500 years ago saying, yeah, well, we had to pull their beating hearts out in order to satisfy the gods, you know? Bridget Speaks coming up. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
The fact is there's these prisoners buried in the sand, mass murdered in containers. The fact is, in Afghanistan, more die than in New York, and most of them civilians. Hail Caesar! This is what you're fighting for. The king of death row, Texas, elected by his brother-in-law. Hail Caesar! This is what you're fighting for. Oil money, Enron, the American Empire!
Summers in the mountains, deep in a cave in Pakistan, but there's a sea of blood in Baghdad, a sea of oil in the sand, between the Tigris and
we thought we'd start dropping in a little Christmas music here.
It's Christmas in Fallujah.
Okay, okay. Oh, this Iraqi Parliament Speaker, the Speaker of the Iraqi Parliament, Mahmoud Mashandani, resigned yesterday. Yeah, he resigned. There are plots, counterplots, potential coups, all sorts of madness going on there. But Mahmoud resigned because the lawmakers were arguing the fate of the journalist who threw shoes at the murderer-in-chief in this country, George Bush. Lawmakers were meeting yesterday to discuss that SOFA, Status of Forces Agreement, that U.S. military will subscribe to while they are in Iraq. But instead, the meeting erupted apparently into arguments over whether the journalist Muntadir al-Zaidi should be released from custody. Hezbollah is holding out to have him executed because he missed. Zaidi, a journalist with the Al-Baghdadiya television station, threw the shoes of Bush, saying it was a farewell kiss to the American dog. You know, you've heard the whole thing. Anyway, the Iranian press TV said Mashhadani was reprimanded, the parliament speaker, for embarrassing Prime Minister al-Maliki. What did he have to do with it, you know? But anyway, he offered to resign. He said, I have no honor leading this parliament, and I announce my resignation. So I don't know. I think it's time for some Bridget Speaks. Time for another in our series of missives from that land that borders between our place and the place that is not ours, wherein dwells Bridget. She writes, Abomination or abomination? Hi, Mike. I've listened today to most of Tom Hartman, lots of the Ed Schultz show. Norman Goldman filling in, can't help it. KPOJ insists on carrying him. And most of Randy. All three shows dealt with the Rick Warren issue. The vote is 2 for a brilliant move, Hartman and Goldman, and 1 for abomination, Randy Rhodes. And I read your blog. When I first heard the announcement this morning, I screamed so loud the cat stopped bugging me for breakfast and hid behind the couch. Then I listened to Hartman's reasoning. Obama's doing what he said. He's reaching out to those who disagree with him, bringing them into the tent, turning the other cheek, being the president for all the people, yada, yada, yada. And I'm sure Hartman's right. But I just can't get past the feeling that in turning the other cheek to the right-wing bigots, including Rick Warren, who have decided Obama is going to hell for his views, that he's at the same time punching in the gut many, many of those who've supported him, Obama, and put their hope in precisely the sense of fairness that he's supposedly exhibiting with this choice. One of my best friends in the world is a lesbian woman who lives in Southern California with her partner of lots of years. I saw this friend through a few problem relationships, then rejoiced with her when she found her love. They had a wedding and built a family. Her partner had 2 kids who my friend helped parent. One is now married and has made my friend a granny. My friends are putting the other one through college, just like any heterosexual stepfamily might do. And when the California Supreme Court finally held that she and her partner were entitled to the same rights and privileges as any other citizen of this country, they got a license and were legally married. Although we couldn't get there for the occasion, we celebrated with them over the phone, and Mike, my friend, was in tears. What she kept saying was some version of, "I'm finally just like everyone else. I can finally say, yes, I'm married. And have it mean the same thing as when you say it." And then came Prop 8. I talked to her election night. She was ecstatic about Obama and saddened beyond words to find that the same people who could joyfully find hope for their own futures could so casually and self-righteously rob her of her own. I haven't talked to her today. She'll be at work as a psychotherapist helping other relationships heal until late tonight. But I know the betrayal she will feel that the man she calls my president would put in a place of honor, a man who tells her that she is an abomination. I understand, as does she, trying to bring all the parties to the table for governing and making decisions, but January 20th, 2009 is not a negotiation. It's an inauguration. In his attempt to inaugurate change that is inclusive, I'm afraid Obama, by his decision to honor a symbol of divisiveness and bigotry like Rick Warren at his inauguration, is tearing out the hearts of many of us and offering them up on the altar of reaching across the aisle. You don't reach across the aisle to people who would make second-class citizens out of other people. Period. If you're attacked by a lion, you don't reach across the aisle to the lion. She'll bite your hand off. And this is where I'm afraid that Obama is, after all, naive. There is a difference between giving people a seat at the table and giving them a place of honor. Yes, you talk to your enemies, if at all possible, but you don't make them guests of honor at a dinner party. Rick Warren may be a very nice man. He has been instrumental in working to help reduce AIDS in Africa, although I wonder if he condones the distribution of condoms. But he is, ultimately, a right-wing Christianist ideologue who would as soon throw Obama to the lions as move 1 inch out of the way to allow the Constitution to be the source of law rather than the Bible. But maybe we're all wrong. Maybe Obama has convinced him to give his invocation and announce his support for the Constitution and therefore for gay marriage and a woman's right to privacy in the secular arena and his willingness to keep his opposition to those things on religious grounds in church. You think? Hope springs eternal. My best, Bridget. Another epistle from Bridget from that border country where this land meets that other land. Ah. I love her theme music, don't you? Isn't that pretty music? It doesn't just make you want to get out of your skin and run around in your bones, dance around in a fairy ring. For those of you keeping track about the fate of General Motors and Chrysler and Ford, this from Beijing, General Motors is opening up a new manufacturing plant. Well, they opened it yesterday in northeast China, which will begin churning out up to 150,000 vehicles annually beginning in a few months. The joint venture plant in Shenyang City inaugurated as the iconic American brand, or inaugurated as the iconic American brand, General Motors is fighting for its life amidst the global crisis, will mass produce the compact Chevrolet Cruze, with a Z in it, Cruze, starting the second quarter of 2009. Kevin Whale, president of the GM China Group, said in a statement, quote, "The opening of this plant is part of GM's ongoing pledge to grow our operations in China," end quote. This is the second plant for GM in Shenyang. The first plant makes the Buick GL8 and the Buick FirstLand Executive Wagon and boasts a capacity of 50,000 vehicles annually. And, of course, this new opening comes after GM said a few days ago that it is stopping everything in North America because of, the financial... Oh, no, that was Chrysler. Which one was it? It's hard to keep track. It's Chrysler stopping everything. GM is idling 30% of its North American production. And according to MarketWatch here, despite the troubles in the U.S., the China market has remained profitable. Well, well, well. Okay. So 150,000 vehicles a year? Yeah. I wonder what it costs to build a car. I wonder how much of the cost of a car in China, how much of that cost goes toward health care and pension plans and retirement benefits for tens of thousands of Chinese workers who have retired. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Molloy. This is Nova M.
Kids play with toys. One warm December, our hearts will see a world where men are free. Someday at Christmas, there'll be no wars. When we have learned what Christmas is for, when we have found what life's really worth, there'll be peace on earth. Someday all our dreams will come to be. Someday in a world where men are free. Maybe not in time for you and me, but someday at Christmas time. Someday at Christmas we'll see a land with no hungry.
Redefining anger management. It's Mike Molloy, only on Nova M Radio.
10 before the hour, you know, a guy who had nothing but contempt for this country, our system of, our imperfect, way imperfect system of social justice, our attempt to find justice. He had nothing but contempt for all of this. A smarmy, sarcastic son of a bitch who did everything that he possibly could to undermine representative government and replace it with some sort of fascist theocracy. Died today. Paul Weyrich, the guy that came up with the idea of the moral majority, and he was the first president and the founder of the Heritage Foundation. He He set up the Free Congress Foundation. He was 66. He was the guy who said he was addressing. There is a video out there on YouTube. He was addressing a group of some assemblage of right-wingers. And here's his idea of democracy. He said, quote, "How many of our Christians have what I call the goo-goo syndrome? Goo-goo standing for good government. They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they're not now. As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections quite candidly goes up as the voting populace goes down," end quote. Now, what he's talking about there is suppression, you know, kill the voters, kill them. Just let white conservative males vote. Exactly what, you know, the Republicans have tried to do over the past, I don't know how long, since 94. He doesn't list the cause of his death. Someone said he probably choked to death on his own bile. But, you know, you're not supposed to speak ill of the dead. I don't know why. Why not? "The evil men do live after them, while the good is often attired with their bones." Have I got that right or have I got that backwards? "The evil men do lives after them, while the good is often..." Or is it the other way?
Didn't Molly look sweet with all her right, little tap shoes
stop.
On?
I'm talking about the funeral oration from Julius Caesar. Was somebody?
Oh, I wasn't listening.
Yeah, I know. Maybe somebody looked that up. I'm not sure if it's the good men do live after them while evil. No, it's the evil men do often live after them while the good is oft interred with their bones. "The noble Brutus hath told you Caesar was an ambitious man."
And you make him sound kind of gay.
"If that were so, it were a grievous fault, and grievously hath Caesar paid for it." Or something like that. So Paul Weyrich has stepped off this mortal coil. And the person who sent me the email with the announcement of his death added a couple of lines that I just don't think would be good for me to repeat on a family talk radio program. But they're along the lines of good riddance to bad rubbish, only that is not how it was worded. From
welcome.
Oh, hello.
Thank you.
questions as she locks up your arm in hers, and you follow till your sense of which direction completely disappears. By the blue tiled walls near the market stalls, there's a hidden door she leads you to. These days she says, I feel my life just like a river running through.
In the government. Welcome back. Gosh, I guess I mean that more than just one way. Apparently, we lost our ISDN connection with the home office in Phoenix for about the last 2 minutes during that last segment. Well, you didn't miss anything. I was just ranting and raving about nonsense. When we lose that ISDN connection, do people on the internet, Kathy, are they still able to pick up the program? You don't know. Okay, well. John writes in regarding Christmas, I don't think I can celebrate Christmas again until there's an absence of war. Until there is peace, there is no Christianity. That certainly makes sense to me. The phone number here is 800-989-1480. We're going to take calls a little bit earlier tonight than we normally do, so join us if you like. What else we got here? John Kerry, Senator John Kerry. You remember him? The guy who promised he wouldn't give up until every vote was counted, especially in Ohio, and then immediately gave up. He is the incoming chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Because who held that position? Who is moving on to something else? Was that... Senate Foreign, that was the old guy from, it doesn't matter. Anyway, John Kerry, who will become the committee chairman in January, said yesterday, the era of Blackwater must finally end. The comments came after the release of an internal State Department report that said Blackwater might lose its license to operate in Iraq. Oh, gee, why? Just because they have this... weird habit of executing people in the streets who have done nothing except walk past them. Why? My goodness, I've heard that we have more private contractors who are licensed to kill in Iraq than we have soldiers. I wonder if that's true. Huh. The most egregious case of Blackwater murder is when their so-called security guards, my ass, when they were indicted for the deaths of 17 Iraqis who were killed last year by gunshots fired into their car in a busy traffic circle in Baghdad. The unofficial death toll from that crazed vomiting of hot lead all over civilians is much higher. Senator Kerry urged Condoleezza Rice last summer to search for an alternative to Blackwater. In part because if Blackwater is evicted from Iraq, the State Department would lack protection for its personnel in Iraq. Really? The State Department would lack protection? Who normally guards embassies? Embassies are part of the State Department. I think it's the United States Marine Corps. Just a question. I just wonder what a Marine feels when he reads something or is told, or she reads something or is told, that the Marines are no longer capable of protecting U.S. embassies or U.S. State Department personnel. Huh? I just wonder. And therefore, private contractors who are thugs, literally thugs, some of them wouldn't have passed background checks to apply for a license to groom dogs, for God's sake, back in the United States. But there they are in Iraq, all pumped up and wearing their wraparound shades and their short haircuts or long hair, depending on their particular orientation of the moment, out to kill people. Yeah.
Hey, goddamn it, look at my arms. My arms are bigger around than your goddamn thighs. I'll kill you. I'll kill you. I'm tough. I'm the meanest son of a bitch on this MV. I'll kill you.
Whatever happened to the honor of the Marine Corps that would lead a squad of Marines to take some of these Blackwater people out behind the nearest ditch latrine and end their agony? Unbelievable stuff. In a statement issued by his Senate office, John Kerry said, quote, even the Bush administration acknowledges that outsourcing overseas security to private firms like Blackwater is a mistake. Why don't they stop calling them security private firms? These are mercenaries. These are people who are paid 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times the amount that an enlistee into the infantry or the Marine Corps is paid. And they are not restricted by U.S. law, Iraqi law, or the Universal Code of Military Justice. Nothing. These are people, Blackwater and the rest of the Dine Corps and the rest of these paid for hire killers operate in an area where there is no law. Nothing. Of course they can murder people. Now these 6 or 7 that have been indicted are going to get off very simply because they have been indicted, I believe, under the military law, and they weren't working for the military. They were working for the State Department. Of course they're going to get off. That's why, you know, that's why they all showed up. Yeah, here I am. Okay, what's my bond? Okay, goodbye. And Eric Prince, this little, he looks like he fell out of Oliver North's back pocket. Doesn't he, Eric Prince? Look just like Oliver North 25 years ago. Jesus God, where did these people come from? Well, ask Colonel Jessup Malloy. He'll tell you where they come from. Civilians like you, you soft-ass, candy-ass civilians who sit behind your microphones, you can't handle the truth! Really? I just wonder whatever happened to the United States Marine Corps. You know, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, and you know how that song goes. What do we have now? We have a bunch of mercenary thugs, bastards, who are under no restrictions about anything. If it moves, kill it. You'll be okay, boys. You're working for Condi Rice.
Who's she? I don't know no Condi Rice. I'm here because I like to kill stuff, man.
All right, we have three open lines. The number is 800-989-1480, if you'd like to join in. So start with Toby. Toby is calling from San Francisco.
Hello?
Listening on Green 960. Hey, Toby.
Hey, Toby, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, well, you know, it's, you know, I got, you know, the capitalist endeavors has hit Hanukkah, Christmas, and Kwanzaa. How and what I wanted to say, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
And by the way, happy whatever.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Including the solstice.
Uh huh.
Is, you know, everybody's getting the shuggy about the this crazy one, this reverend, and they're invoking all this biblical, all these biblical passages.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? I am no scholar. My degree of Judaic scholar is Hebrew school and the Jewish Bulletin. But I will tell you that the other half of that, the other part of that biblical alleged ban on two men lying together.
Yeah.
It includes an entire another group of people.
Who?
Barren women.
Okay. Well, I hear what you're saying, Toby. Thanks for checking in. I'm not sure I completely understand what you were saying, but I think that's mostly my fault. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us. This is Nova M.
I call upon the world's millions. No more war in our name. Stop this madness. Stop the killing. Stop the suffering and the pain. So I don't want to be a soldier. I don't want to kill and maim another mother's son or daughter. George Bush's war is a dirty game.
Twenty-one past the hour. All right, let's get right back to your calls. Jackie is calling from L.A. Jackie, welcome to the program. Hey, Jackie.
Hey there.
Hi.
A little while ago, I just kind of wanted to offer a little bit of help in that the person that John Kerry is replacing is Joe Biden.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't know why that was just beyond my ability to get through my skull. Thank you.
That's okay. but I'm also, I have very mixed emotions about the selection of this gentleman, Rick Williams.
Rick Warren?
Rick Warren, yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
This very important moment in our history. I, on the one hand, I understand the motivation of trying to bring everyone together.
But that has to work. That has to work two ways, doesn't it? And I'd like to know when. I'd like to know when these right-wing devils, whether they're secular or religious, it doesn't matter. When have they ever tried to reach across the aisle? They talk about it. They, you know, when they're out of power, like they are now, they start to whine and bleat and make noises about, well, we've got to, you know, reach across the aisle. But whenever they're in power, they just more or less say to normal people, go screw yourself. They're not the least bit interested. So
what I worry about most at this moment, I think, because I'm a hippie child. I'm a child of the 60s.
Uh-huh.
Is that, you know, I want this to work. I've been waiting for Barack Obama since I'm 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And what I repeat, I understand what it is I think he was trying to do, but when that moment comes for this man to speak, I hope we're not blown back from the big screens.
Right. No, I hear you.
And I also want to tell you how much I appreciate your program. It's I lost my brother, frankly, to AIDS in 1988, and I haven't had anybody really to talk to since then.
I'm sorry.
Listening to your show. It's the kind of conversations he and I would have had.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I really am. I've not lost a family member to AIDS, but I have lost an awful lot of friends. And
it was in that dubious period where they didn't really know what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was really, really dicey.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty awful.
Well, go ahead.
On the other hand, I have a next-door neighbor that has been living with full-blown AIDS for going on 20 years now, and he's you know, one of those testaments to what we can do in science. So,
mm-hmm. And think how, or maybe don't think, because it would be painful for people who have lost relatives to AIDS. What was it? We were 3 years, 4 years into this epidemic before Ronald Reagan could even say the word.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And one of the seminal book I read on this was Randy Schultz's book, and the band played on. Now, he
wonderful
got,
book.
Yeah, it was. And although the book got some criticism after Randy Schultz died, I could never understand what the criticism was about, because I thought that was one of the most meticulously researched books on this epidemic that now has, of course, become a pandemic, that could have been written. I thought Randy Schultz's and the band played on was the book that one needed to read if you wanted to understand why so many people died so needlessly when once this thing began.
I think it challenged one of those Orwellian opinions that people had and wanted to stick with, because it was a stable, sort of a stable datum that they could say how horrible it was. And it was in every bigoted opinion, there has to be an object of the bigotry. So let's pick this one. It's all their fault.
Yeah.
I think that could be why the book had the criticism it did, because people wanted to, they want to be shaken from their opinion.
Yeah. I think you're
right. We've come some way for that. From that, I do miss my brother, but we've made some progress. And coming full circle in this, I am looking at this speech or this invocation with really a lot of hope that it manages to bridge something instead of widening the gap.
Well, I hope you don't have your heart broken again, Jackie, because I don't think Rick Warren is the person that someone like you or me or I would want to hear. Jackie, thanks. I've got to leave it there. I appreciate you checking in. Rick Warren is on the record as many times as he needs to be on the record of his attitude toward people have to be gay, and he's not going to change that attitude, because if he does, you see, he would be condemning his own, in his mind, his theology, his own immortal soul to eternal damnation, and he's not going to do that.
You hold the key to love and fear, all in your trembling. Just one key unlocks them both. It's there at your command. Come on, people now. Smile on your brother, everybody gets.
Ready for Radical Talk Radio? Make mine Mike Malloy on Nova M.
It's about 25 before the hour. A couple of emails and back to your calls here. Prairie 2 writes in, Mike, Obama's choice of one of the high priests of bigotry to bless his swearing-in, Rick Warren, is a real-world necessity. A far too large segment of our population believes Obama is a godless, communist, Muslim, liberal, fascist, socialist, America-hating terrorist that will be sworn in on the Quran by Satan himself. With the inevitable crisis that is coming, we need as many of these knuckle-draggers as possible to accept Obama as the legitimate president. Gays and liberals who feel offended need to consider what a post-civilization society will be like. If it turns out that all we have to give up is some inauguration symbolism to avoid that, we can consider ourselves lucky. Of course, if Obama is successful in avoiding the end of the world, very few people will realize it. Well, yeah, in this pragmatic world that we're all supposed to be twisting and pretzelizing ourselves to fit into, the pragmatic world, I guess that's true. But I think it's also true that you don't negotiate with religious bigots. I mean, how do you do that? How do you negotiate with religious bigots? Now, I'm not saying you don't try, but how long has the American political system tried to negotiate with America's religious bigots? How long has this been going on? And it really reached its apex in furious attempts to try to negotiate with religious bigots during the 80s and 90s and most recently. And what is the result of those negotiations between our secular humanist political system? It is a system. It is not a religion. It is godless. It is everythingless except how to govern oneself outside these insane religious laws, whether it be evangelical Protestantism or Islamic Sharia or Sharia, however you pronounce that. I'm not sure, but don't send me a pronouncer on it because I really am not interested. Or if you exist within, the world of Jewish Kabbalistic, not Kabbalistic, but Jewish law. I mean, this is not a religious society. And we have bent over backwards to accommodate these people being the religious nutcases. I don't care what religion they are. If they're extremists, they are extremists. And the ones who have done the most damage to us have been the Christian extremists. Yes, the Christian extremists. I mean, allowed to continue unchecked, what will we wind up with? We will wind up with an illiterate population who honestly believes that a woman walking around in a garden somewhere in what is now Iraq fell into a conversation with a snake 6,000 years ago, and as a result of that conversation, all kinds of hell and curses and poison and was blah onto the earth and, And that's just the start of that craziness. You don't negotiate with that. We've tried. Not you and me. The political system in this country has tried. But even the framers, as bigoted as they were, as much of slavers and potential committers, is that a word, of genocide, they still understood that the most powerful force of negativity is religion, organized religion. That's why they tried to bar it from our system of governance, because they saw what it did to hundreds of years of European history. And that was their model, European history. And this was an attempt. I'm not saying all of them were. There were, you know, the whole manifest destiny thing. And there was an element within the framers who, no. God gave us this land. Oh, really? Well, who gave it to the Native Americans? What happened there? Yeah, you know. Nonsense. But trying to negotiate with Rick Warren, a guy who self-proclaims that the only difference between Rick Warren, he says this himself, and James Dobson, this psychopathic son of a bitch who would be much more comfortable if he could live inside the book of Leviticus. The only difference, Rick Warren says, between the two is tone. Doesn't that sound like Sarah Palin? The only difference between a pig... Did she say a pig? A pit bull. I'm sorry. Starting to mix my illusions there. A pit bull and a hockey mama's lipstick, really? The only difference between Rick Warren and a fire-breathing demon is blue jeans. So I don't know what... I'm sure Prairie 2 is right. You know, oh yeah, okay, let's suck in the right-wingers, because we're going to need them. You don't suck in right-wingers. You know, this is the old... Who was it? Was it Nietzsche who talked about peering into the abyss? And if you do that, eventually the abyss starts peering into you. That's what we're talking about here. Rick Warren and his ilk represent just everything that is anti-life. Anti-conscious life, here, now. There's no connection for them to the here and the now. Destroy everything, eat everything, belch everything, squat on everything, mess everything up. Doesn't make any difference. Just get right with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Get born again, because we're all going to heaven. No, we're not, Rick. We really, really aren't. I'm sorry, you believe your way, I'll believe mine, but even if we are going to heaven in your twisted universe, Mr. Warren, why don't you make it easier for people who are living here now? You know, show me something where Jesus said, keep these queers out of my sight. Show that to me. Show me where Jesus said,
I'll be happy to come to your wedding and turn the water into wine. But not if you're gay!
Show me that. Come on, Ricky. Show that to me. Show me where folks who happen to be homosexual are somehow beyond the pale. They're outside the realm of human experience. They are, in other words, demonic. That's what you and your filthy brothers preach, and your sisters, isn't it? And you're going to give the invocation... You know, there was a time when people like Rick Warren said the same thing about people of color like Barack Obama. So is it a giant leap forward that Barack Obama understands that and said, well, you know, I get it. I know who this guy is. I lived, folks, in Richmond, Virginia, when it was illegal for a white person and a black person to get married. It was illegal, just like it's illegal for same-sex couples to get married. That's not that long ago. Back at a time when people like Rick Warren would have said to Barack Obama, your mother and father are going to hell. So is it a step forward that Barack Obama is inviting a representative of this kind of sick, destructive bigotry to come get up on the stage and invoke God for this inauguration? Is that a step forward? Some people would say, yeah, well, Mike, you're missing the big picture. He's reaching out. I mean, that's what Prairie 2 is saying. You know, you got to do this. Really? Somebody please, right now, please send me an email. Cite me an example. One. Just one. From the past 25 years, where the Christian bigots in this country reached out to the other side. Any example?
as small and insignificant as you may think it is. I'd like to know when, where, under what circumstances, when did Falwell or Robertson or Warren or any of these monstrous anti-human people ever make an effort? Well, I'm not a homophobe, Rick Warren likes to say. I'm not a bigot. I believe in human rights. Just don't let the sons of bitches get married. That's all. You know, it's like pedophilia. It's like incest. What did Rick Santorum say? It's like man on dog. No, I'm sorry. I don't play that. I don't play that. Rick Warren has as much business giving the invocation at Barack Obama's inauguration as, I don't know, some squat, little tailed, scaly, horned demon.
And the quality of mercy is my strength.
Hypocrites and liars.
The quality of mercy is my strength.
Senators and lawyers.
The quality of mercy is my strength.
Victims and heroes.
The quality of mercy is my strength.
Murderers and martyrs. The quality of mercy is my strength.
Taking on the world, junked out boyfriend, and you making a statement.
And your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
It's about 10 before the hour. A couple emails here about this issue about Rick Warren. John writes, Mike, Obama has invited no-class Rick Warren to deliver the invocation, and in doing so, Obama himself is showing us that he's willing to demean those who have supported him and to cheapen what we all believe would be the most important inauguration ceremony in a long time. I don't believe we need to reach out unless it's to strangle the religious right and the political right who almost succeeded in taking America into fascist territory. Yeah, which, what's that? Denis Diderot, well, it may have been Diderot, it may not have been, but that quote about mankind will never be free until the last king is strangled with the entrails of the last priest. Always one of my favorites. And Nick in New Hampshire sent this to me. This is from today, Blue Springs, Missouri. A priest has removed two books about Barack Obama, from a Missouri Roman Catholic school's library because of the president-elect's abortion position. The Reverend Ron Elliott of Blue Springs, Missouri, told KNBC-TV in Kansas City, I am very pro-life. Because of his stance on certain issues, I was asked to look into that matter. End quote. Obama has said he believes abortion should be legally available in accordance with a Supreme Court decision that said abortion was a constitutional right to privacy under the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment. Reverend Elliott said he pulled the Obama books from the Catholic school even though he didn't find anything wrong with them when he read them. what this priest apparently missed when he went to Catholic school or seminary or wherever he got his education was that the office of the president is supposed to uphold the law. It's not supposed to say, well, I don't like that. Although George Bush has made a mockery of the idea of upholding the law and the Constitution, George Bush has made a career of saying, I don't like that one. I'll put a signing statement on that one. Nah, screw that. Nah, not that one either. No. We'll make them think we passed it, but here, let me write this down here. Somebody write for me here. Where do I sign? That's not the way it works, Mr. Priest.
Barack Obama did not make abortion legal, illegal. He did not write the 14th Amendment. He did not come up with a Roe v. Wade interpretation of the right to privacy by half the population in this nation. That was done over, oh, Christ, never mind. Reach out to these people? Why? When do they ever reach back? And let me look at my email. Yep, nothing yet. Once again, to you right-wingers who listen to this program, come on, you little snots. You know who you are, you free republic people. Give me one example. Come on, you can do it. Where the Christian right has ever reached out to the humanist point of view, the secularist point of view, the rational point of view. 150, 200 years of conversation and science and decisions about natural selection and evolution and so on and so forth. And these evil sons of bitches come up with something called intelligent design. Well, you see, everything is so complex, it has to have had somebody doing all that. No, you have the argument just backwards. If there was an intelligent designer, why, for example, would he design an eyeball to project onto some nerve ending somewhere an inverted image, you idiots? I mean, wouldn't your creator have said, let me start with Occam's razor. Here, I'll let's see now. We have a lens that lets the light through. Okay, and then it goes right onto these nerve endings that go right back to the brain, and there's a picture. No, that's not the way it worked. You know, natural selection, trial and error. Oh, never mind. Jesus, I'm getting way off topic here. But this is what they have done. This is what they have done. This is what these religious freaks have done for centuries. No, no, everything revolves around the earth. To say otherwise is heresy. Let's waterboard him. So Rick Warren is going to stand up there at this historic moment in U.S. history, political history, and demean it because of what he represents. I mean, why stop with Rick Warren, Barack? Why not reach out to, why not bring a Klans person up there? Why not bring somebody from Stormfront? You know, one of the skinheads. Why not bring them up, huh? I mean, come on, reach out. God damn it, reach out. Why not have somebody who represents race hatred? You've got somebody who represents woman hatred and gay hatred and intelligence hatred. Why stop with Rick Warren? You're not reaching out. You're pandering. Jesus, God. Mr. Obama, haven't we had enough of that? I mean, what is the point? What makes Barack Obama think that there is going to be any reciprocity whatsoever from these people? As soon as he stumbles, as he will, they will be right there with the knives. Et tu, Brute? You're goddamn right.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. All right, a couple of emails here about this this issue with Rick Warren, because this is I know it's about critical issues regarding some of the problems we're dealing with in society right now, but I disagree. Of course, it's a critical issue to elevate somebody who is an absolute bigot. You know, in Germany, in the 30s, the good Germans were not allowed to marry Jews. I mean, what kind of analogy does anybody need to understand that Rick Warren is a bigoted son of a bitch who has now been blessed to kind of reverse the process there by Barack Obama? If Barack Obama wanted to have a some sort of Christian person give the invocation, are there not some who support the idea of people being allowed to marry, that it has nothing to do with any religious claptrap and everything to do with strictures and rules and regs set out by the various states? It's madness. William writes, Mike, he says, I can't recall the name of the guy who said, if you can't support yourself, then starve. He screamed it. It was on a YouTube. Yeah, that was Reverend James Hagee. William writes, I suppose this now more than ever helps everyone without a job fully realize in the right-wing world you certainly know what to expect. Yeah, if you can't take care of yourself, starve. This is what this great Christian, who's right there in the same pantheon with Rick Warren, the Reverend Hagee, who also commands a bunch of brain-dead zombies in one of these mega churches.
Let them starve, goddammit!
Well, he didn't say goddammit, but he might as well have. And Barack Obama has described himself as a fierce advocate of rights for gays and lesbians. No, you're not. If you were, you wouldn't have stated during the campaign, you and all the other Democratic candidates, that you were, at the time, I think there were three of you left, you and Clinton, and who was the other one? Edwards, was it Edwards? All three of you stated categorically that you were against the rights of gays to marry. That is not being a fierce advocate, Mr. Obama. It's not. It's being for the rights of gay Americans. It's being a fierce advocate against the rights of. So, you know, Barack Obama is demonstrating what? The inversion of speech? Is he doing a Winston Smith on us already? Oh, please, don't. Yeah, okay. Kathy in Green Bay writes, I listened to Rachel Maddow on television tonight. Gavin Newsom, the San Francisco mayor, was on. He kept saying what a nice person Rick Warren is. No, he's not. Nice people aren't bigots. Nice people aren't hateful. The definition of nice doesn't include those things, except maybe in Bush's opposite world. And Kathleen from Austin writes, Mike, the proof that right-wing fanatics won't change their minds is that they are now rabidly denouncing Warren for choosing to be a part of the Obama abomination. Right. So, you know, Rick Warren is getting a taste of the lash that he helps wield against other people, because the people even further into the book of Leviticus than Rick Warren are now accusing him of consorting with the enemy. You see how insane this is? It's madness. Absolute madness. Diderot is right. Strangle them! Or whatever he said. The entrails of the last priest used to strangle the last monarch? Don't send it to me. That's close enough. And even if I inverted it there, maybe it's the entrails of the last king used to strangle the last priest. Doesn't matter, as long as, you know, both, you know, that is when Diderot said people would be free. Not until then. Well, it hasn't happened. All right. One last thing here. Who's this one? And then we're right back to your phones. This is from Dino, north of Toronto. Mike, when you mentioned intelligent design, it reminded me of The Daily Show's take on that issue. Jon Stewart had a panel discussion which included one fellow who believed in the whole intelligent design thing. This prompted Stewart to question the intelligence of the designer by asking what God was thinking when he designed a man's scrotum. Dino, north of Toronto. Yeah, you don't have to stop there. I mean, there's all sorts of things that you could... All right, back to your... I missed that one, Dino, thanks. Back to your phone calls. Dave is calling from Huntington Beach, California, listening on KTLK. Hey, Dave.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I got two comments on the whole Rick Warren thing.
Okay.
First of all, you know, as gay man, I'm not at all surprised that the politicians have, you know, turned around on us once again. Clinton, you know, when he ran on a platform of inclusiveness, and he courted the gay vote.
And then he signed the Defense of Marriage Act.
He did that, but the first thing he tried to do was to allow gays in the military, and we ended up with Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Right.
So no surprise there.
Right.
I do have, I think, a way out for Obama.
All right.
Now, I personally have no use for invocations.
Right.
But I'm going to propose two, one by Warren and one by Gene Robinson.
The columnist?
No, the gay Episcopal bishop.
Oh, boy, am I off the mark. Okay, the guy who caused the schism in the church?
Yes.
Okay. Now, yeah. All right.
Now that's reaching across the aisle.
Yeah. 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 It sure would be. But I don't think that's going to happen, Dave.
Well, I just threw it out there, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. All right.
With regard to the whole marriage thing, I am taking a page from, his name just flew out of my mind. The guy who was the head of the Charlton Heston.
Heston. Yeah.
They will take my marriage license out of my cold, dead hands.
Right. I hear you. So you are married?
Yes. Yeah, I've called in before. And
now, what is, do you have any idea yet, any indication? Does anybody in California have any indication what Prop 8 is going to do to these marriages that were legal and are now declared any subsequent marriages illegal?
Well, the state attorney general is Jerry Brown.
Right.
And he has indicated that he has no intention of invalidating the 18,000 or so marriages that took place in between the Supreme Court decision and the election. They are certainly challenging Prop 8 in the courts right now, in as much as they're apparently, I'm not a legal scholar, but there is apparently something in the state constitution with regard to the initiative process, that the initiative process cannot be used to make a major change in the Constitution. That has to have a two-thirds vote of the legislature to get on the ballot.
Right.
So that's the current.
I've read about that. I wish that there was a different way, although I'll go with that, to challenge this. Like maybe it should be challenged because it should be against the law to use the law to declare a whole group of people to be outside the protections of the U.S. Constitution. That seems to me to be just outrageous. Hey, Dave, I got to go. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate you checking in.
Ready for Radical Talk Radio? Make mine Mike Malloy on Nova M.
It's almost 22 past the hour. Last email from Kendall in Madison, Wisconsin, regarding Rick Warren. I'm not sure, Kendall writes, that this is strictly a matter of reaching out, you know, on Obama's part. I see a sensible political calculation involved. Obama sees, correctly, a direct link between global warming and environmental concerns, energy independence and consumption, and national security. Rick Warren has addressed the global warming issue in a manner that could bring his flock, so-called, on board with legislation that might move the nation forward on all three of the aforementioned concerns. I do not believe Obama will govern as a closed-minded theocrat, nor do I believe this decision suggests such. Kendall, well, I don't suggest that he'll govern as a closed-minded theocrat either. But if there is a necessity or a need, and there is, to bring everybody on board where it concerns these critical issues, good. That's a good thing. But do you want to compromise your values or the values that we talk about in this country? Human rights, equal protection under the law. Do you want to compromise that? Well, let's not change the word. Do you want to toss that under the bus? Do you want to crush it so that somebody like Rick Warren can bring his so-called flock into the discussion? Anytime Rick Warren wants to sit down with Barack Obama and a whole clutch of scientists and discuss, discuss these issues, fine. Don't forget, Rick Warren believes that the Earth was created 6,000 years ago. I don't know what his position is on global warming. I know he's, I've read that there is a cadre of evangelicals out there now who are approaching this from a biblical point of view. We are stewards of the Earth. Okay, if you're stewards of the Earth, how about starting with acknowledging human rights, equal right under the law? I mean, you know, where do you want me to go with this, Kendall? Supposing, you know, Rick Warren brought his flock into the discussion based on his decision that you are not protected by the 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution. That you, because of your skin color or hair color or eye color or sexual orientation or where you go to church or what you eat or what you drink, that you are outside the law of the land. Now, I'm sorry, Kendall. Like I said, I don't play this nonsense. Either this is a nation of laws or it is not. And if it is not, let's stop pretending like it is and just get down to the nitty gritty. I mean, let's just, you know, as George Bush said, bring them on. Let's cut the crap. I am so sick of the crap. Compromise my ass. We have compromised ourselves into the position that we're in right now. So Rick Warren wants to talk about global warming. What was Rick Warren talking about regarding global warming 5 years ago, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, when the evidence began to mount to a degree that it could not be avoided unless you were a religious freak?
No, that's not what that's about. God wouldn't do that.
I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I don't mean I'm sorry like I apologize. I mean I am sorry in the sense I have sorrow that we have to deal with these kind of negative weirdos. They're not even sorcerers. They're not even shaman. They're not even magicians. You know, these are just flat out religious bigots. That's all.
They don't turn water to wine. They don't bring Lazarus back from the dead. They don't feed the multitudes with loaves and fishes. They just sit there and say, no, the queers can't get married, goddammit. Only they don't say the goddammit part. These are not miracle workers. These are thugs, liars, sneaks, cheats, bigots, thieves. They steal your soul. They steal your eyes. They steal your mind. They take everything from you and then continue to tell you you're condemned to burn in hell. Nah, screw them. Rick Warren, the rest of these, I don't care. Why don't you get out of my country? Go live someplace where you can, you know, ooga booga yourselves into oblivion. You know, just go for it. Have fun. Why not leave the rest of us the hell alone with this nonsense? All right? No. Sorry, Kendall. Ain't going there. We'll be back with your phone calls. It's right after this break.
Superstar, what is it that you have got that puts you where you are? I am waiting, yes, I'm a captive fan. I'm dying to be shown that you are not just any man. So if you are the Christ, yes, the great Jesus Christ.
The life is bigger. It's bigger.
Seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, more of Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour, getting some great emails here, but I will wait until tomorrow and share them. Let's get back on the phone calls here. From Seattle, Chevron is calling. Are you a person or an oil company?
Well, this is actually Devron. But
oh,
you know,
Devron.
I'm used to people calling me Chevron.
All right. You answer to anything, right? Call me anything except late for dinner. I know. All right,
yeah.
Devron.
Hey, man, no disrespect, Mike, but your wife makes me want to run out and buy some night skin.
Well, do it.
I think I really am.
You know, every time a bottle of that sells, she gets $100.
Oh, wow.
No, I'm okay. Just kidding you, man. Damn.
Hey, my dad's mother has 16 kids, and inevitably, you know, some of them turned out to be gay.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I don't say that as a bad thing. I just think, you know, it's natural, you know, odds. She's a devout Christian. She's a black lady who is just, you know, I look at it. Fortunately, my father, he never made me go to any, I was never baptized. I was allowed to walk into any church and just absorb, you know, the information. As a point, I, you know, had Mormon friends and can remember going to there and being heavily looked at strange because, you know, I'm a mixed breed. I don't know if you know who that evil pig Rich Butler was. He's dead now. No, we're not supposed to talk bad about that.
Butler, the guy that had the compound up in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho?
Yeah. Well, I was fortunate enough one time to get on a radio show he was on with an unmentionable out here in the Northwest.
Right.
I talked to him, and I was like, you know, there's one son out here, and you know, just got really, you know, down and irate with him almost, and end up telling him I love him. You know, I was like, you know, there's only one son out here. After this guy's telling me I'm an abomination and there's no help for me and you're going to burn in hell. That's really, you know, quite how they talk. Mm-hmm. And it's just like you're talking about, are they going to reach out? It takes arms to reach out, arms of compassion and other things. So, I don't want to give up on that because I think of the white people that died in, you know, Mississippi burning and just, you know, the white people that crossed with MLK on the bridge and had, you know, the white people in Watts that were hosed down. I mean, there's atrocities that are coming. And I didn't used to think that that it was the same plight between homosexuality and blacks, but I think so now, and that just shows you that a mind can change. Mike, one love to your callers and your listeners. I know you got a lot of people waiting.
All right, man. Thanks, Devron.
Peace.
All right. Appreciate you checking in, pal. Yeah, that's the part I have a hard time with, the people that say don't compare the struggle for human rights or civil rights for homosexual people to the struggle for human rights or civil rights of people of African descent or people of color, that it's two different things. And I, you know, I have asked people, what do you mean? How is it two different things? And usually the answer I get is one based in ignorance, and that is my black friends who say to me, there is a difference, Malloy. And they say the difference is we're born black. People aren't born gay. And my answer to that is, well, number one, you're not black. I mean, you're kind of a bronze or brown color, or, you know. And then I usually get that look like, oh, man, quit. But as far as how you're born, you know, how do you know people who are gay are gay? But that part of it, I don't see why that part of it should be an issue. I really don't. Maybe some black folk are offended about the comparison between the two struggles for human rights. And I can understand from an historical perspective how that could be. You know, that could be. When you think of the millions upon millions of Africans who were murdered in order for white people to have free labor, that's difficult to compare to the struggles of gay Americans for equal rights for black people, or for people that are classified as African American or black, what have you. Yeah, that's a difficult thing. But if you just set that aside, why are we talking about denying equal protection under the law in this country to anyone for any reason? That's the issue. It's not whose ass got kicked harder. It's not who has been dragged behind trucks or hung on fences out in Wyoming. It is why do we allow a denial of equal rights to anyone in this country? That's the point. Haven't we all been told? I don't know, maybe this new generation's not being told. We're a nation of laws, not of men. What does that mean? What does that mean? Either there's a 14th Amendment or there isn't. Either there, everything that has been said to us by the lights of this democratic republic over the course of history, whether it was the framing of the Constitution or the defense, or I should say the prosecution of the criminals at Nuremberg, or whatever it's been, hasn't it always been based in a certain concept? We are a nation of laws. Except for those people. And then a generation later, except for those people. And then a generation later, except for those people. What the hell kind of a game is that? This is not about where it concerns the law. It's not about who suffered the most. Let's drag the Jews into it. Have the Jews suffered more than black folk? Have black folk suffered more than gays? Have gays suffered more than Wiccans? Have Wiccans suffered more than so-called Native Americans? Have Native Americans suffered? You see, what is this? It's called a smokescreen. It's called divide and conquer. It's called, my group's anguish and pain is greater than your group's anguish and pain, so... once I get up, I'm not going to let you. Once I get over, I'm not going to let you get over. Really? Man. Okay. Back to your phone calls. Leanne is calling from San Diego, listening on the internet. Hey, Leanne.
Hi, how are you, Mike? I want to applaud you for at least pointing out the fact that, you know, this is This is sheer cowardice on Barack Obama's part. And I'm going to tell you something. I didn't vote for Barack because I knew this was going to happen. And I think you're just hitting the tip of the iceberg. Your viewers are going to be, they're in for a lot of disappointment with this man. Sorry to say, but they had a choice. He's already appointed Robert Gates, Hillary Clinton, Tom Vilsack, Mary Shapiro, who's a right winger, Ken Salazar, Joe Lieberman, the list goes on and on. I read your blog today, and I also read Tom Hartman. The most disappointing thing aspect of it all is people that are continue to make excuses. You have not, at least you're allowing people to voice their concerns. You have also said, you know, you got to give the guy a break, but you're also faulting him. This is sheer cowardice. Mm. He did not need to do this with Rick Warren. He did not need to do this. I can somewhat see his political appointments, but Rick Warren, I live in California. I've been to this man's church. He's a joke. He's a fascist. He's a pig. And he's disgusting. And if Barack Obama wants to continue down this path of political suicide, he's not going to make it the next 4 years. That's all I'm going to say. Well, and I applaud myself for not voting for him. I've been a lifelong Democrat, and I was sick and tired of it this time. And I'm really glad I didn't fall for the tricks. Maybe next time people will learn, and they'll put a real progressive in. And that's all I have to say.
All right. Well, thanks, Leanne.
Thank you.
All right.
Good night.
Good night. Appreciate your comments. Yeah, that's she said it a lot more succinctly than I've been trying to say it tonight, but that's pretty much it. I mean, I did vote for Barack Obama, and I am going to hit a brick wall here at some point. I understand that. And I might also say that, you know, I and probably several million others of us who voted for Barack Obama did it as an act of political sacrifice. I mean, what was the alternative? I didn't vote for Barack Obama in the primaries. You know, I said the same thing that most progressives said. Vote for your candidate in the primaries, and then when it's all said and done, you have to vote Democratic. Well, Leanne didn't do that, and I will grant you that Leanne has a I don't mean anything nasty by this, Leanne. You have a morally superior position right now. I mean that sincerely. I wish I were on that same limb on that tree, but I'm not. You know, I decided to go ahead and make the compromise as a blocking maneuver. But I understand now, I think I had the same suspicion that a lot of people had. I've declared my little Mike Malloy program moratorium on busting up on this guy. Let's see what he can do. But I certainly understand Leanne's point of view. And it's all things said and done, it's probably the more direct and right on point of view. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Nothing to prove to the world. There's nothing to rebel against when you get home. Home, I understand. And don't let them smell those booze or use the cuss words like you like to use, and think about taking the high road. Yeah, the high road, like you've always been shown. And think about what would Jesus do. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? He'd get a haircut and a real job. There's nothing to prove to the world. There's nothing to rebel against when you get home.
Ten before the hour, thanks to Ben Birch, our podcast manager and technical advisor, Sharon Gordy, our military affairs correspondent, Sean Ryan tonight, who sat in and engineered for the little bit under the weather, Ian Huff, also Bob Alexander, and and Bridget Wolf, our what do I call them? Our ethics advisors, and Bruce Sandberg, our economic advisor, and Catherine Bay, our executive producer. I don't know why I'm hesitating in saying these names. All right, Wayne is calling from Elizabeth, New Jersey, listening on the Internet. Hey, hey, Wayne.
Hi, how are you? Happy holidays to you.
Thank you.
Kathy and Molly.
Thank you very much.
I'm a 56-year-old homosexual, and I used to be a Franciscan friar. I left the church in 1982 after I went to my spiritual director for confession and told him that I was gay, and he lectured me for a half hour in the confession booth about what a sinner I was and that he loves the sinner, but he hates the sin.
Right.
And then I said to him, he asked me if I thought about naked men. I says, yeah, I do. And I said, he says, well, you should pray for forgiveness. I says, well, maybe you should pray for forgiveness because I saw you coming out of an adult bookstore and you had a Hustler magazine. So you must be looking at that while you're choking your chicken, right? Do you ask Jesus for forgiveness for that? So then I put in my leave of absence and I left. I was molested by a Catholic priest from 14 years of age to 16 years of age. I was an altar boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know better. I guess I was very naive and stupid. And I thought, well, gee, this is the way to become a priest. Let the guy play with me. And so I have a lot of anger about what Barack Obama has done.
Yeah, I'm sure you do, Wayne.
I'm very disappointed. Why doesn't he just call up Fred Phelps there in Topeka? Have him come too.
Yeah, yeah.
And
David Duke.
David Duke, or how about that guy in Colorado with the Focus on the Family?
Yeah, him too. Dobson.
I'm sending a card tomorrow to this guy in California. I got it from him. I'm no longer a Catholic, and I'm an atheist, and I'm a Unitarian.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never been happier. I'm sending him a card, and on the front of the card it has a picture of Jesus, and it says, Jesus loves you. And when you open it up, it says, but everybody else thinks you're an a-hole. And that's what he is. And by the way, our president-elect Obama should not be taking the oath on the Bible. He should be taking it on the Constitution.
Well, that's very true, Wayne. I wish that they did take their oath on the Constitution. But, you know, we're a Judeo-Christian construct. Mark is calling from L.A., listening on K-Talk. Hey, Mark.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
You know, Barack Obama has called on all Americans to honor Dr. King this upcoming January, and I think we should make the same challenge to Barack Obama, and we don't have a voice, but you do, and if you continue to remind him that people like Bayard Russell, who organized for Dr. King, he was gay, and, you know, they fought for Latinos, the poor people. Mm-hmm. Dr. King saw pictures of Vietnamese children in Vietnam getting killed, and he did something very politically popular by trying to shut down that war, which I think he got killed for doing.
As a side note,
Coretta Scott King spent the rest of her life carrying on the King legacy and calling out for gay rights. If Barack Obama is serious about honoring Dr. King, he'll stand up for the people who stood up and made it possible for him even to be elected in this country and pave the road for him. Use your voice on behalf of Americans and put that challenge back in Barack Obama's lap, please.
Yeah, I hear that. That makes a lot of sense. Thanks, Mark. I think he meant Bayard Rustin, who was probably the soul, the heart of the civil rights movement. He's the one who counseled Martin Luther King on nonviolent resistance, on how those techniques could be applied. And he was also a gay black man at a time in this country where that was two strikes. And he was also an intellectual, so that's three strikes, and Bayard Rustin was out. But yeah, I good point, Mark, about Bayard Rustin and his role in the civil rights movement. This strong black man who, strong gay black man who counseled Dr. King on how to do what Dr. King knew he was ordained, not by God, but he was ordained to do it by his own conscience, the drive that was the essence of Dr. King. So good point, Mark. We're out of time. For those of you who are holding on, have been holding on, I apologize. We will get your call tomorrow if you'll call back in. And again, such good, insightful points of view about this Rick Warren, Barack Obama thing that we're probably going to bring this up a little bit during the first part of the program tomorrow night. Okay? In the meantime, thanks for hanging out. Take care. Keep it lit, okay? I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.